Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning, and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity, and we've been doing a series sort of on recognizing red flags. And the main thing you want to remember about red flags is simply that they're trying to get your attention. So over time, what you'll be learning to do is be objective about what you're learning, about what you're thinking, and sometimes even about what you're feeling. So, and I do want to kind of let you know, give you a heads up, there seems to be some kinds of technical difficulties at Blog Talk Radio. So if you're having some challenges, it's probably not you. So just give you that little heads up. So in talking about some practical Christianity red flags, got a good question. I thought I'd just go ahead and address it quickly. There seems to be this push within organized religions regarding focusing on serving others and what your worth is being tied into how busy you are and who you are serving. And the question comes up that what we're teaching here is very much directed towards us in that comparison, that it's not about serving others or growing the church or fitting in or fellowship or finding your place and being in the right place at the right time and fulfilling your doing what the requirements are in order to be a good Christian. And instead, our focus can seem to be much more on an internal or a personal process. And basically, what I'd say is just to refocus that slightly. And instead of looking at whether it's focused on serving others or potentially serving our own self and our own needs, what we're really looking to do is have our focus on God. And whether we are working to meet someone else's needs or meet our own needs is not a focus. It is a consequence. I've used the illustration many times that we're looking, an illustration of our whole purpose is to be communing and eating and living with God. So that, imagine yourself, or an illustration would be if you're sitting down and eating with God, with your friends and other sons, and you're having conversation and you're enjoying the company, and God says, pass the salt. And you don't really think about it. You just pass the salt. Whoever's nearest to it just passes the salt. And you go on with your conversation and you go on with your focus, and it's no big deal. Because that's not the focus, is who's going to pass the salt or did they do it right. It's, this is what you do. He asked you to do something, you do it. So likewise, when we are asked to go minister unto the poor in another country, for us, it's no different than passing the salt. So we go minister to people in another country, and we are still communing with him. We go do what he's asked us to do. It isn't merely an extension of our communion with him, our being with him, living with him. So the focus is not on our giving, our ministry, our serving. The focus is on him. We don't let our left hand know what our right hand is doing. It's working. It's out there. It's active, even though sometimes that activity may not be known to anyone, and sometimes even not to ourselves. The bottom line is, can we trust God to be accomplishing through us what he wants to accomplish? Or do we have to know all about it? We schedule, you know, checks. You know, Lord, is there anything I'm missing? But we rely on him alone to let us know if we're neglecting an area. We will never be judged on how much we minister to others. Our present judging is on, are we depending on God? That's the only thing that's going to be a division, a distinction between living out of our spirit or living out of our soul. Is as we live out of the spirit, we are depending on God and receiving his eternal life. If we are looking to receive anything from ministry, from serving, from helping, we are trying to control how we are perceived by God or others or ourselves. Now, there's going to be times when God will teach us how to minister to others, or how to bless them, or how to give. And he will draw our attention to those things. But our focus is still on him. And our satisfaction will not be, oh good, look at what I've been able to accomplish, or look at what God has been able to accomplish through me. It will be being with the Lord. Our focus will be enjoying his present presence. So hopefully that helps. It's not a matter of trying to satisfy our own needs. Those needs have already been met. But practical Christianity is recognizing God himself is your teacher, your trainer, your guidance counselor, and he alone is responsible for every aspect of your life. We know he's a jealous God, and we think he's jealous over things that we choose to put in front of him, and he is. But he's also jealous over authority in your life, that when we give others authority, anything else, including the scriptures, including your pastor, including your spouse, when we give someone else authority over our going to him directly, he is jealous over that, and he will address that. He may not do it right away, and he may do it very subtly, but he is God, and he will not allow another to take his place. It's not good for us. It's not good for others. So we're also learning what a true leader is. So hope that helps. Practical Christianity is very personal. but it is also very practical. I think that's, in some respects, kind of daunting, kind of challenging for many of us, that we think that if there are standards out there, if we just meet those, and if everybody else is also working at meeting those particular standards, then even if we're wrong, because we're not the only one, we are safe. We're not going to get in any trouble because all we did was what everybody else was doing. We went with the flow. We followed the crowd. We stayed with the herd. You know, there's this whole, you know, concept of the Lone Ranger syndrome, how that's, you know, you don't do that, don't be that, you know, God, you know, you need you connected with other people. And it just occurs to me that sometimes that wasn't the Lone Ranger a good guy? You know, and didn't he work alone so he could get things done? Just putting that out there. We have this idea that it's scary or dangerous to not be under someone else's authority or, you know, not accountable to someone when we have no proof of that. We go through history, and that's been exactly the opposite. More people have been led astray by following someone who said, you need to be under my authority. And we won't go into those examples. But what I encourage you to do is just ask the Lord. He's going to be your final say. He knows what he has for you right now, but also test it. Lord, is that you? And work through it. Don't have to make a decision now, and you can change your mind later. There's no pressure. This is not a decision any of us makes one time, because it's so ingrained about wanting to fit in, about wanting to be safe for any different reason. But go ahead and let him talk to you about what his purpose for you is now. And if you feel like you don't hear him well enough to do that, you've just found your purpose. Until you can be confident that you are hearing well enough for yourself, these other decisions really are not going to be able to be resolved, because you're not going to be able to hear him clearly and have that confidence that you're hearing him clearly. Now, we've got a whole series on Thursdays, the Knowing God series. And, of course, go through the archives, and, of course, on the blog at wecanprepare.org, all one word, we address many of these same questions. The whole point is that through the circumstances in your life, God points out what you need. Your life is your training. Your life is your ministry. The circumstances he has you in is exactly what he wants you to be in. It's one of the reasons we can't feel like a victim, because we were born into a certain set of circumstances or a certain country or a certain level of the family or education or capabilities. This was handpicked for you from God for his purposes. So there are things he wants us to learn, starting with how to depend on him. Then those skills and any accomplishments he wants to do through you will all come through that. So go to him until you can hear from him directly. There's only one mediator between us and God. It's not your pastor or any book or any teachings, including these teachings. The only mediator between you and God is his son Jesus.
And that mediation was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. You are, if you've been born again, if you've accepted that mediation, you've been born into the family. And spiritually, you are fully one with Him. There's no in and out, no maturing, no going to a next level or growing in your spirit. The problem now is all between your spirit and your soul. So that's one of the reasons it may seem like we spend a lot of time on ourselves. It's because that's where the problem is. God can, if God did not want poor in the world, there would not be poor in the world. If God did not want people who didn't hear Him, who have not been touched by Him, He would take care of that directly. He doesn't need you in this world. You are not His hands and feet. He is His own hands and feet. And very often what happens is we all, the more we depend on God especially, we come into contact with people and touch them in ways that we will never know. And give of God's life without even realizing it. The question is that okay with you? Or do you want to know about it? Will that be satisfying or encouraging? And sometimes God does let us know about these things. And we are satisfied and encouraged by them. But we don't seek them out. We don't use these outward expressions of God's activity as a measuring stick of how we're doing and if we're doing the right thing. There's only one way to know, and that's ask God. Now, there will be times when we will be put in the situation where we learn from someone else. And sometimes we learn what not to do. But we still stay focused on hearing from God, on knowing Him personally. It's always going to come down to, is God real? If God is real and alive and present, then He is perfectly capable of speaking for Himself. If He can't, if He can only speak to us through a book or through a person, He's not God. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful and eternal and personal. He's not the God we think of. So my challenge to you would be to try it. Give God the opportunity. Be open. And just ask the Lord, what do you have for me? And work with Him until you can hear Him clearly for yourself. None of us has all the truth. We all have gaps, and much of what we believe is incorrect. So what? The goal is not to only believe the truth. Our beliefs are based on inaccurate information. So our faith cannot, we cannot allow our faith to be based and our confidence to be based on what we believe. Instead, we want that confidence to be based on who we know. And that knowledge of Him comes through spirit to spirit. And what when waiting on Him and letting Him reveal to us what we need when we need it. So we've been talking about these red flags to help us recognize manipulation especially. And manipulation comes in all shapes and sizes. when we recognize these red flags, it's not for the purpose of correcting someone else. And this is not just a spiritual or ministry related, church related. This happens every day in life, where you'll say something and somebody will not understand you, and they will go off on a tangent, and they will try to express themselves so that they can be understood, that they're not interested in understanding you, but they're interested in you understanding them. It's not necessarily, it may be, but it's not necessarily your task, your job, to correct them. And that brings up our vulnerability, our need, fleshly need, to be understood. But that need is temperament related. It's not spirit related. Likewise, you cannot make someone understand you. What you can do is be clear. You can work on being clear, and you can test that and everything, but then guarantee you that unless the Lord makes something real to someone, they're not going to get it. They may get it with their head. They may be able to practice it with their hands, but it's not going to be real to them, where it changes and removes those obstacles between spirit and soul. So we can, as far as red flags, we can be motivated, we can respond to the challenge to the idolatry of our will. And very often those in ministry and those wanting to be in ministry and in one way, shape, or form are strong-willed. Now, this is the way God made them and us. I'm in this category. There's nothing wrong with it. But we don't get extra credit for it either. We're not God's chosen leaders because we have strong wills. So we not only have to learn to recognize it in others, we need to learn to recognize these in ourselves, depending on God. He will let us know as they come up. We don't have to be, constantly double-checking, with ourselves or with others, how am I doing? Rest assured, He will let you know how you're doing. But some good examples are, if you really wanted to do this, you could accomplish great things for God. If you were really willing to put these other things aside, God would do what you're asking Him to do. And when it comes down to, if you try hard enough, the reason this isn't happening in your life is you're just not trying hard enough. The reason your marriage is failing is you're just not trying hard enough. The reason you're in financial problems is you're just not trying hard enough. And this turns out to be an appeal to the will, or as Paul called it, the idolatry of the will. Now, this does fly in the face of the whole concept of Christianity being based on having a free will. And yet what we find out is our wills are encased by our flesh, our own desires, and do not become free until they are freed from, until they are freed from our own needs being met our way. So as we look at how is our needs being met, how are our needs being met, we recognize that they are already met. That our will is a great resource but it is not who we are. Your will is merely part of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. God gave it to you. But if you don't keep it in check, if you don't understand that just like your emotions, just like your thinking, they are not perfect. Your will is not perfect. So you can, and if you've been relying on it, you can be manipulated in your will by that challenge if you just try harder. If you just really put an effort into it. You know, another way that that comes across is, you know, prioritize. You know, or are you procrastinating? Are you making God first in your life? These are all ways that there's an appeal to our will. Now, you'll learn to recognize that in what you're being taught and also in your own thoughts. We shame ourselves. We blame ourselves because we aren't getting enough done. Because the opposite, we are weak-willed. Or it's just an attack from the enemy or from our flesh. The only way to know if you have the right priorities, if you're putting your time to what you should be putting it to, is to ask God. He will tell you. Now, he knows how much time you have. He knows how many kids you have, what your job demands are. And we started out this Practical Christianity series about recognizing that you'll have to take authority. You'll have to learn to take authority over your time. And the answer to wasting time is not just rearranging what you've got on your table, but by asking God. He's practical. He knows exactly what circumstances and situation you're in because he created them. He is reliable. He is your guidance counselor. So another red flag for today is when you hear something that's very rigid or strict, whether it's in your belief system or in your approach or in this is what you need to be doing in order to be a good Christian. Just to throw out a couple of examples, you know, we've all heard or know or believe certain things like only those who speak in tongues are truly baptized by the Holy Spirit. Or, you know, if you're not water baptized, you're going to hell. Or if you attend a church on Sunday rather than Saturday, because Saturday is the true Sabbath, you are not honoring God, and he will not allow you to come into heaven when you die. The whole concept being that there's only one way to serve God, and if you don't serve him that way or know him that way, then you are rejecting his law. And what, you know, the focus of that is when we want to come down to, okay, how do we come up against those? We just remind ourselves that all things, all barriers were summed up in Jesus Christ and his actions. He didn't change the law. He fulfilled the law. And so practical Christianity for us is flexible. We are not being held to those standards of the law or the cultural standards. Instead, we are held to our relationship with God, our identity as spirit beings. And he brings us to the point of change and makes those changes himself. So we'll continue on. We've still got a few more red flags next Monday. Until then, I will see you tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning, where we'll be talking about getting healed. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.